Our reading for today comes from 1 John. We pick up a little bit later in 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, where we hear these words. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed, but what we do know is this. When He is revealed, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. And all who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He was revealed to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him sins. No one who sins has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is righteous is right, or everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved family of God, grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. When I was in third grade, I had no idea that I could not see very well. I could see enough to ride my bike. I could see well enough to play with my friends. I could see well enough to catch a baseball. I was able to do all the things that I wanted, provided I was close enough to make things out. Right? Then one day in class, we switched seats. And I had been near the front of the room, but was cycled to a group of desks in the back. I started squinting a lot more. I'd get little headaches. Finally, I came home and I told my mom what the problem was. I said, "Mom, the teacher's writing blurry on the chalkboard." Those dang teachers and their blurry writing, I tell you what. So I went to the optometrist, got a pair of glasses, and I could see she wasn't writing blurry anymore. Before then, I hadn't realized that anything was wrong, but the first day in the classroom with my new glasses, I could see clearly. I didn't realize all the things that I'd been missing. There were encouraging posters that were hung up on the wall throughout the room. I could see them now. I could read them. I could be encouraged by them. There was a full schedule of our day right alongside the chalkboard. No more guessing how much longer until lunch, right? All of a sudden, I knew that there were things that I hadn't been able to see before. In the third chapter of John's first letter to the early churches, he writes, "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." In God's eyes, we are not our jobs, or we're not our friends, we're not the things we're good at, or the things we may be not so good at. We're not any of those things. God looks at us and sees His children. And John reminds us that is what we are. God is able to see right through the exteriors and the facades that we may put up, and God sees us at the core of who we are as children of God. The problem is, we don't always see that in ourselves, do we? And often we fail to see it in others as well. We can be so caught up with, am I doing the right things? Am I wearing the right clothes? Am I posting the right things on social media? Am I doing enough to help my community? And the thing about questions like that is we're not the only one asking those questions and worrying about those things. So often when we're gathered together as a community, physically we're together, but often we're in our own heads wondering, am I connecting with people who I haven't talked to in a while? Am I doing these things right, in the right way, right? wondering if we're measuring up, or wondering if others will see us as worthy of belonging. It often isn't until we take a deep breath and we hear God's promise that we finally see who we are. One of my favorite Easter stories is the story of the disciples walking the road to Emmaus. Right after the resurrection, there's two people who are walking home and they're grieving Jesus' death. The resurrected Jesus comes alongside them and explains everything to them, opens the scriptures to them in all kinds of different ways. Even after they heard Jesus explain these things to them, they still didn't know it was him. They couldn't see clearly. But when he broke the bread, when they get to the point where they are going, they gather around a table and Jesus breaks the bread, it says, suddenly their eyes were opened. Suddenly they could see. They saw him and they understood who he was. Reminded of that story as we get to celebrate our communion milestone with 16 of our second graders today. One of the ways that we can see who Jesus really is when we gather around this table and we remember together, we help each other see, right? As 1 John 3 says, what we do know is this, when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. There are times when we can see those little glimpses of the fullness of God. Right? When we gather together for worship, when we sing together, when we pray together, when we serve together, when we join in fellowship together, that feeling of contentment that often follows is a sign that we've caught a glimpse. As the Apostle Paul says, we've seen in a mirror dimly. But one day we will see face to face. In the verses that follow in 1 John, John talks about sin and abiding in the Christian life, being in community, in relationship with one another. He says things like, no one who abides in Christ sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. And on the surface, that can sound a little scary. Right, we talked about this in Bible study this past Wednesday. Does it really mean that if we see, we're not followers of Jesus? Or if we fail to see, right, taken by itself, it can be interpreted that way. That when we fall short in sin, we have neither seen him nor known him. Now, if I can be a little grammar nerd for a sec with you all this morning, the punctuation in this sentence is a semicolon, right? Semicolons connect two separate but related clauses or ideas. No one who abides in Christ sins, semicolon. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. These are two separate ideas that are held together, and they tell the story of our complexity, of our humanness, of the ways in which we abide in relationship with God, and yet we often still fall short of God's glory. Right now, as it is, we are children of God. John says that is what we are right now. Right now, we belong to God through Jesus Christ. Right now, we are justified and saved by God's amazing grace. Right now. And we still participate in sin and fall short of God's glory. We mess up. We make mistakes, sometimes more than we can count. Martin Luther had a way of explaining this by saying we are at the same time saint and sinner. Right? Simultaneously, we are saint and sinner. But when God is revealed, when we see clearly, when we see God face to face, we will be like him, God says. For we will see him as he is. On that day when our lives are fully and perfectly held in Christ, there will be no more sin and suffering. There will be no more darkness and pain. We will see clearly. We get glimmers of that right now. But like my third grade chalkboard, it's still pretty blurry. Tom Long is an author and preacher down in the Atlanta area. He tells a story about a friend of his who served as a hospital chaplain nearby. One Ash Wednesday, this chaplain slipped away from the hospital long enough to attend worship and returned to the hospital a little while later with a cross-shaped smudge of ash on his forehead. At one point, as he entered the room of a woman who was a patient that day, she immediately grabbed a Kleenex and said, "Well, come over here, dear. You seem to have gotten into something. I'm going to wipe it off." Wanted to make sure the chaplain was presentable, getting ready to clean up his dirty forehead. The chaplain said, No, you see, this smudge of ash is from an Ash Wednesday service, where I was reminded that I'm weak and I'm frail and I'm sinful and vulnerable, and that soon enough, my own life will return to the dust. But it also reminds us that on his cross, Jesus took away all of that and has made us new and alive again. The old woman thought for a moment and said, "You know, I think I want some of that too." And so the chaplain bent down and borrowed a bit from the edges of his ash smudge and enough to make a cross on her own forehead. This is why John proclaims the lavish love of God for us as children of God. John proclaims the love of God so joyfully and unabashedly so that their joy may be complete, we read last week, that we can't help but want to be a part of it. That the cross of Jesus makes all of creation new so much that we can't help but want a little bit of it on our foreheads too. And that when this lavish love of God is animated in us, when we live it out in the ways we are in relationship with one another in our community, the whole world joins together in praise. It says, "I want to be like that." For that lavish gift of God's amazing grace, and for that open invitation to join around God's table, to see, to truly see that we are God's children, we say thanks be to God. Amen.